Amen. Some people I'm seeing them for the first time, so Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's good to have you in church this morning. So we're just going to go into God's word this morning. From the first Sunday of this year, we've been still looking at the series, Does My Life Count? So Pastor Benton has already laid the foundation. He's been teaching us. So I'm just going to carry on from where he stopped last week. And then I'd just like us just to bow our head just as we just commit the teaching into God's hand and Holy Spirit. Father, Lord God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can be privileged to come into your house this morning. And we thank you, Lord, because the words that we read in the Bible, they are life. And Father, Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in your name, and because we are gathered in your name, not for me, not for Pastor Benson, not for anyone, but in the name of Jesus, you said you are here. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that even as we read your word, Holy Spirit, explain the word of God to every individual according to what they're going through. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about, does my life count? And so Pastor Benson, he's been taking us through this series, been looking at the person of Gideon. So I have a few people that I'd like to use as an example as well this morning. But when Pastor Benson put that topic, does my life count? What I wrote here is, your life counts. God is saying this morning that your life counts. And I put 3 points here that I'd like to, by God's grace, take us through this morning. The first point says, your life counts because God has already decided that your life counted before the foundations of the earth. The second point that I also like to take us through this morning says, our life counts because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm to make this life as we know it count. I know that's a handful, but thank God that Pastor Benson always records this. If you're like me, I think these days when I have a form or something, I'm asking someone, have you got a pen? Because I don't carry pen anymore. Is anyone like me? I don't carry pen anymore. I don't do paper anymore. So I'm always just electric. Everything is just, electronic. So what I'm trying to say is, if you didn't get that point, don't worry, you can listen to the recording. So the second point, I'll just say it again for us, is our life counts because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm to make what we know as this life count. And my third point, lastly, is for your life to count, and if I can add 2025 and thereof, maybe some of us will live 300 years, maybe some of us 900, and they used to live 1,000 years in the Old Testament. How many of us want to live 300 years? No. But I tell you, those guys back in the days, they used to live for a very long time. But I just want to know that the third point is saying, for your life to count this year, we need to have in our mind that it's not by our power, nor by our might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So literally that point is saying that in this year, 2025, we're going to make our life count, but not by our power, but by God's Spirit going with us into this year. Amen. 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 So going back to that first point, I'd like to back that point up with the scripture. So the first question, the first answer I gave this morning is that your life counts. Your life counts. And God has already decided that your life counted even before you knew this world. So one of the things that I wrote down is, I'm sure every one of us has a birth certificate. Of course. None of us here, we have a birth certificate, and some of us may even have passports. In this country, we also have something called national insurance. Maybe young people, you don't know, but when you get that card, young people, you know what time it is? It's time to go to work. Yeah. But when I'm talking about your life counts, and God says your life counts before the foundation of this world, what I mean is that the person that you are is not just your name on the birth certificate. There's a scripture in Jeremiah where God says that even in your mother's womb, I've known you. You are who you are. They first knew you in heaven before you were born in Royal Glamorgan Hospital, before you were born in, I don't know, Northwick Park Hospital. They knew you in heaven. And I put there, your real record is in heaven, not in HRMC. Your real record is in heaven. You were before your parents even pushed you out into whatever hospital you were born. So I'd like us to read that scripture in Ephesians. Let me just get the scripture up for you. So I'd like us to turn to, give me one moment, sorry, I have so many notes here. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll take it from verse 3 to 9. So Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 9. Thank you. It says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and be blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in Christ. So, I mean, if we look at the way God has blessed us, he's blessed us in so many things. But if you look at that scripture, the Bible says God, what he's blessed us with, he's blessed us with adoption and he's blessed us with sonship. I believe everyone in this room was not AI generated. We all have a mother and a father, right? And we all have relationships with our earthly mother, our earthly father. So one of the things that I want to say here is, the Bible says, first of all, you are before you came. This leopard dress, this lipstick you're wearing is nice for the earth, but I am more than this. God knows me in the spirit. You were before you became an earthly being. And God has given you what you need to make your life count already. He has given you the blessing of the adoption into his kingdom and sonship. So one of the things I want to move into is that in making your life count as a Christian, because you have the blessing of adoption and sonship, you can hear from God. That's what makes a difference. You can hear from God. So the next thing, point I want us to look at is when we look at God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly realm to make this life count as we know it. These spiritual gifts, because I remember a time ago in the church, I think we treated a series on spiritual gifts. We talked about healing, we talked about prophecy, we talked about word of knowledge. I remember a joke that Pastor Benson cracked when we were looking at the series about love. And he was talking about the challenges between a man and a woman. As we all know it, men are Mars and women are Venus. Honestly, men, they're very special people. That's all I can say. So Pastor Benson cracked a joke that there's a gift, it's called word of knowledge, which means like you can know what someone is in someone's heart, what someone's thinking. And he said, I'm sure many men wish they had word of knowledge. because I don't know if you ever done it, but I did it. I did it a week ago. We as women, we expect that, I don't know, let me give an example. No, I don't want to put him out there. But let me give an example. So, not saying that my husband has done this, he hasn't. This is just a general example, right? So maybe you, right. Maybe your husband, he makes cereal for the children, right? That cereal, it came from somewhere. It didn't come from heaven. That cereal came from a place in the cupboard. So when the husband finished making the cereal, what do you think the husband's supposed to do? What was he supposed to do? But for some strange reason, they believe that, no, that cereal box, maybe it looks good. Do you understand? And then you, as maybe a wife, you're just thinking. And so you don't want to be, because the Bible says that a nagging wife is like a tap dripping. And if you know a tap dripping is very irritating. So you don't want to be a nagging wife. So you're just like walking. You are making it clear that you're not really happy with what is happening in the kitchen. And the guy is still trying to like draw conversation. Did you see what happened? I'm like, guy, can you not see that I'm not happy? So this is where Pastor Benson was like, many men wish that they had the word of knowledge so that they could know what is in their wife's heart. But that's what makes marriage interesting, right? Yeah. So going back to what we're talking about, that in understanding that our life counts, we need to know that God has given us all spiritual blessings. We talked about sonship and adoption. And one of the things I wanted to point out there is that it's very important to know that as a child of God, you should hear your father. If you are a son, you are a daughter, you're adopted, you should hear your father. It's not a strange thing that only happened in the olden days. You can hear God even today. And so I have some examples of people that we can look to this morning. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about, does your life count? And I'm saying that your life counts. And sometimes we don't think our life counts because we're confused with why our life is going a certain direction. We are challenged. But I tell you, if you can just open your ears to hear God, I'm not saying if you could hear God because it's already in you to hear God. But if you can just open yourself to that. And I want us to look at a guy that is maybe could be underrated, but I love him. This is Joseph, Mary's husband, the earthly father of Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. We'll take it from verse 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18 to 25. I'll read for us. So it says here, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Verse 24, I'll jump there. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And what I've written here is that when we're looking at, does your life count? Your life counts. But in 2025, God is saying your life counts, but he wants you to hear him. I use this as an example because maybe I could have used a great prophet like Moses. And I like the fact that Pastor Benson used Gideon. I don't even think we understand like what God did with Gideon. Gideon was just like someone that was supposed to be an outcast. But here we see Joseph. Because I'm sure if any guy is here and you're planning your wedding, and then your, God forbid, your fiance is pregnant, you're like, how? I'm sure. You know, when we read these stories, we're just like, yes, Joseph, blessed son, that's what he should have done. But you and I know that many of us would have walked away. But you know what? Joseph's life counted. You know why? Although we know that Jesus had to come, it was prophesied anyway. If Joseph misbehaved, God would have done something else. But Joseph's life counted, because if I set the context, I'm setting a context here of a man that heard God. He didn't go to a pastor to say, prophesy, what word do you have for me? This guy had a relationship with God and he heard God. And one important thing that I want to emphasize here is that, you know, after he had gotten married to Mary and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the three wise men, I think they stopped at Herod. And when Herod, we all know the story, right? When Herod knew that, wow, there's another king on the scene that's going to take my place, he said that all the male children should be killed. But who heard God again?
Joseph.
Thank you. We are allowed to speak, it's okay. Who heard God again? Joseph. Joseph heard God and he said, God told, paraphrasing, God told him to take the family and take Jesus to Egypt, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yes. So what I'm trying to say is, this guy Joseph, he was just fulfilling prophecy. He heard God. God forbid, I know, if Joseph, like I said, did not hear God, God would have done another thing. But Joseph, he played his role well. He fulfilled prophecy. And because he could hear God, we thank God that Jesus was able to be saved from the hands of Herod. Amen. What are we looking at? We're looking at your life counts. And in order to live a life that counts in 2025, we need to hear God. And also as well, I'd like us to look at a few scriptures. I'd like us to go to Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. And this scripture, I'm sure we've all prayed it or read it before. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in vain. That is what we saw played out when Joseph took Jesus to Egypt. In this year and in the years to come, in order to make our life count, one of the things I want to emphasize, when Pastor Benson brought this topic, he didn't just say, does my life count? He said, does my life count in the context of God? Can I say Joseph's life counted in the context of God? There was a guy that could hear God. He was able to deliver his family. He understood that unless the Lord build the house, unless the builders labor in vain, unless the Lord watches over this city, my family, I'm just doing it in vain. I'd like us to also read another scripture, please. What are we looking at? We're looking at the importance of hearing God and going in this 2025 with hearing God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Thank you. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes, this is what I want to emphasize. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of the things I wanted to point out, sorry, I forgot to mention that, In making your life count, you need to see life through the lens of Jesus. You see, Jesus, even when he came for his assignment, the Bible says that, I was sharing it with someone this week, the Bible said that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, Father, Lord, if this, paraphrasing, if this cup of suffering can pass me. And you know what came to me? I don't think when Jesus was saying, Father, Lord, if this cup of suffering can pass me, he was just talking just about the cross. I feel this was a guy that was exhausted, guy. Like, he's been carrying everyone's problem. Everywhere he turns, Jesus, heal my daughter. Everywhere he turns, Jesus, I need money. Everywhere he turns, Jesus, please come. My boy is possessed. Like, but do you know that Jesus was a human being like us? But Jesus made his life count. And the only way that we are going to make our life count, I mean, if you open the news and you look at what's happening in this world, have you seen it? Have you seen what's happening in this world? Okay. The only way that we can make our life count and fulfill what God has called us to do is fixing our eyes on Jesus. Is looking at things through the lens of Jesus. And you know, this week I was encouraged because, you know, sometimes when you walk with God, like, we can become so, like, familiar, or things can become religious, but we need to be reminded about the power of God that we are carrying when we're going through this life. And I was encouraged by a couple of testimonies. So I was reminded about a preaching a long time ago, Pastor Benson, when he was working, I think, in his city job. For some of you who don't know Pastor Benson, he's the pastor of this church. If you're new, he sat over here. Okay. He used to live in West End, and he used to have like a city job and stuff. And trust me, some of those jobs can be stressful. And I remember his boss gave him a task. There was like a very, very complicated, complicated challenge. And you know, at the time he was a contractor. So what that means is this job you have, you get paid daily. And you know what? There's no contract to say that, okay, you know what, you're not doing so good, so we're just going to give you some performance management after 1 month. Nah, if you ain't doing the job, you're out there and then. So imagine he has his family, he has bills and everything, right? And he was told, this challenge we have, it needs to be solved. I'm paraphrasing. If you want to know the details, you can talk to him after church. And literally, they gave him like maybe days. And with, you know, people, they know how to tell you things in code. In other words, if you don't solve it, you're out the door. You're out the door, mate. As they say in London, you're out the door, mate. And Pastor Benson, you know, maybe I just had to keep his cool. But I remember what he said. He said he was thinking, you know, I've got all the experience. He tried a few stuff. It didn't work. Okay, maybe I just need to warm up. He tried the second thing. It didn't work. Huh, it's serious now. So he said he went into the toilet. He remembered that God has given him the blessing of sonship and adoption. And he prayed and he heard God's voice and God gave him the answer. And he went back out. People did not understand that this is not ChatGPT talking. This is the Holy Spirit, the highest pot of data and answers has downloaded the information to him. And he was able to resolve that issue that no one could. I'm telling you that in making your life count, you have been given spiritual blessings. You're adopted into God's kingdom. You are a child, a daughter, a son of God. You can hear God's voice. I'd like to share also some more testimonies, because I think sometimes when we live in the modern world, we forget the power of God. You know, when the Israelites, when they left Egypt, this is one thing that amazes me. They said when they left Egypt, I didn't hear that they bought shoes from Clarks or from Dorothy Perkins. The Bible said, as their feet grew, the shoes grew. That power is still available today. I was encouraged by some testimonies some men of God said this week. There's a man called, Apostle or Pastor Obadare? So he's one of the mentors of Apostle. And one of his mentors was just sharing at a meeting like this, and he was sharing some of the signs and wonders that he's encountered whilst working with this man, Obadare, that he remembers there was a time where Minister Obadare or Pastor Obadare had to go for like a ministration. So imagine if Pastor Benson needs to get to London, right? And let's just modernize the testimony. He's got an electric car. For those of you who have an electric car, you know when you can't find a charging point, and you know when the battery's gone, that's it. But you know what this guy did? This was back in Africa. So his mentor told him, "But sir, we are going all the way to London. There's no petrol in this car." The guy said, "Don't worry, drive." So they drove, and the car obviously wanted to misbehave. So obviously the car, you know, jerked and stopped. If that was you and I, maybe what would you say? Oh, God can see that we tried, right? Oh, let's get an Uber. Do you know what this guy did? And this is what God wants us to do in 2025. Your life counts. Like, know that you have the maker of heaven and earth living in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know what this guy said? He told the driver that was driving them, just go to the bush, because there was nothing around them. Go to the bush. Bring whatever you can bring. The guy brought back sand. This is not like Nollywood or Hollywood movie. The guy brought sand. They put sand in the car. That car took them to where they were going. I'm talking about the power of God. To make your life count, you need to know that you've been giving spiritual blessings, adoption, and sonship with God. This week, I was just like, it really revived my faith. It really revived my faith again, and I hope that this testimony has blessed you this morning. And also as well, I remember a testimony as well from Apostle. So, you know, in this church, we have our general overseer, Apostle. Some of you have met him. His picture is at the back there. So I think he's in his 60s, if I'm not mistaken, right? But he's got a family. He runs a church. There's branches in India, in Africa, in Europe. You can imagine how busy. Yeah, Apostle's so busy, honestly. And his wife as well, God bless her. And you know, if that's not enough, do you know what he went to do? He went to sign up for degree as well. Or master's in law. Can you imagine? Me, that I'm thinking with the kids and everything, I'm just like, does that even make sense? Upon all of this activity, you still want to go and do a master's law degree. And you know, I've seen Apostle sometimes, like maybe he's in someone's wedding or someone's party or something. I've seen him. He'll be there talking to you, but do you know what he'll be doing? He'll be studying. Maybe he'll come, preach a sermon, everything. He'll go back, pray, but he will still, do you understand? And the reason why I'm adding all those things is so that you don't think that, okay, I'm going to go into this 2025. I'm just going to say, Father, I need a job. And then it'll appear. No, there's a place that you need to do your work. So Apostle does. But because God just looked at this guy and like, God, this guy. Apostle said that one time with an exam or something, he just prayed to God and God gave him insight. And you know, when you go to university, I'm sure all of you know, it's been a long time since I graduated, but I heard that you can get distinction, you can get merit, and I don't know what the other one is. Is there another one? Pass. Oh, thank you so much. But you know, with all this stuff, he still came out with distinction. I'm telling you, God says your life counts. But in the context of God, you need to hear God. You need to do 2025 with God. Just because of time, I'm just going to go to my third point. The third point that I said earlier on, I said, for your life to count this year, we need to have in our mind that is not by power, is not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to us this morning, that for my life to count, as we saw in Gideon's life, Mary's husband, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And I wrote here that you know that your life counts already, but for your life to count, and if you want to do it with ease in 2025, we need to know that you have to do it with the Spirit of the Lord. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not going to be by your power, by your wisdom, by your might. I wrote here that there's a place for your wisdom, there's a place for your might, but where that ends, the Spirit of the Lord will now take over. And I want us to go to a scripture. Why am I saying that it's by my Spirit, says the Lord? In Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 21. It says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. If we move to the next verse, 20 to 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. So sorry, brother. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. We can stop here. So when this scripture says it's not by power nor by might, but it's by my spirit, what came to me is that many of us as Christians, for our life to count, we need to know that this scripture is talking about us. And many at times when I read this scripture, I used to think, oh, this scripture means that, yes, we will prophesy. God will give us a vision of what's coming and everything. But then I understood that when it's saying that it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, is because the Spirit of the Lord is the revealer of mysteries. When it says you will prophesy, you will dream dreams, I remember people like Daniel who had revelations, who dreamt dreams, who saw 2000 and beyond. I remember people like John, the Revelator. I remember people like the person that came to me recently. I remember people like Joseph. Joseph understood it's not by power nor by might. The Bible says here that my men will dream dreams, they will prophesy. Joseph dreamt a dream. He dreamt a dream that solved the problem of Egypt and made his life count. What am I trying to emphasize here? I'm trying to emphasize that all these people that from Gideon to Joseph to Daniel and all these great people, that they did not do it in their might. They did it by the Spirit of the Lord. And in this 2025, every one of us, as we already know that we've been given the blessings of sonship and adoption, that we need to hear God's voice in this 2025 and beyond. And we need to know that we cannot make our life count by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's something that I just put here. You know, have you ever heard this phrase that people will say, oh, you're too spiritual? Have you heard that phrase before? Oh, okay. Maybe I'm the only one then. Maybe I'll ask someone on this side. Have you heard that phrase before? So it's like, they say you're too spiritual, that Christians are too spiritual. And when I think of that, I think, okay, I get what they're saying. Maybe they mean like, maybe you go to Cake Box and you want to order a cake for your child, your husband. And then you say, Lord, Father, which cake shall I pick? Strawberry or chocolate or gatto or caramel? Like my husband would say, when people are watching Arsenal and Man United play, they'll say, God, make Man United play. God, make Man United win. They say, that prayer, what has God got to do with football? Because God is the God of Man United and God is the God of Arsenal. So how will we resolve that problem if we pray the prayer and Arsenal wins? Then does God not care about Man United? So what we're trying to say, when people say you're too spiritual, I understand that in that respect. But I'd like to argue that you cannot be too spiritual, because You cannot deny what you are. You are a spiritual being. Earlier on, we read that scripture in Ephesians that says that you were blessed in the heavenly places. That means in the heavens, we knew you in the heavens first. So in this year, 2025, you're allowed to count. I want you to don't pipe down God, because you are a spiritual being. And when we look at all these people that their lives count, even Gideon, we saw that the angel of the Lord spoke to him. He soon realized it was God speaking to him. You know, there's one thing I want to round up and praise the Lord Jesus right on time. Thank God. There's something that I want to remind us with, just to encourage us, to let us know that, you know what, your life counts, whether it looks like it or it doesn't. Remember what we said earlier on? Looking unto Jesus. See life through the lens of Jesus. You know, you just prayed a powerful prayer. Maybe there's a prophecy. You're going to get a job tomorrow. And then you go back to the office and they actually sack you in a job you have. How does that look like God? But you look through the lens of Jesus. And so I remember a testimony of a lady. This is to encourage you. When the Bible says that, lo, I will be with you always and forever. And I believe Jesus means that literally. Wherever you go, Jesus is with you. Because when I remember the three Hebrew boys, the king looked, and who did he see? A fourth man in the fire. Jesus is with you everywhere. And also, just to bring it a testimony, maybe you think the Bible is back then. There was a lady who gave a testimony that I watched. Unfortunately, she got into the wrong marriage. And in that marriage, her husband wanted to use her for something. I don't know whether you guys, rituals or whatever. And she'd said something that hit me. You know when people give testimonies and then you remember that verse? Because I think there's some verses that we read and we think, oh, maybe it's just a poetic or description, but it's actually literal. You know, Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, if we put it there, I'll continue with the testimony. Revelation 22, verse 4. I'll read it in a moment. This lady said that God had showed her, like, dreams that, you know, she wasn't safe in a marriage. And she said that she was at night one time, some, like, spiritual forces or whatever came in. And, you know, she heard them say, oh, we can't touch her, because she's got the name of that man on her head, written in gold. I said, oh God, if I could speak in tongues right now. I said, what? And I was reminded of the scripture. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Do you know that you have the name of Jesus written on your forehead? The devil knows this. So in 2025, if you're asking yourself, does your life count? Everything we've read this morning should make you see that my life counts. I just need to be in tune with God and go with God in this year, not by my power, not by might, but by my spirit. Can I encourage us this year? I'm not damping anyone, but this year is the year to be in the presence of God. I'm guilty. Sometimes I have a job, an agency job that takes me away from prayer meeting or Bible study. But let me tell you, this is the year. If you can, come to Bible study. If you can, come to prayer meetings. If you see what's happening in the world, you know that this is the year where we need to be in the presence of the Lord. And you cannot do this year without the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. This morning, let us rise up. Let us rise up. And I want us to say, first of all, I want us to pray two prayers. First of all, I want you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and say, Lord, I thank you because my life counts in the context of God. I want you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, Lord, we worship you, we honor you. We thank you because we serve a God that knew us even before we came to this earth. We serve a God that inscribes his name on the palm of our hands. We serve a mighty God, a God that has written his name on our forehead. Hallelujah. Karashantaya. We thank you, Lord, because my life counts. Thank you, Lord, because the Bible says the steps of a righteous man has already been ordained by God. Thank you, Father, Lord, because my life counts. It doesn't matter the voices that I've heard this year already through people. I know my life counts. I want to thank you, Lord, because you have already blessed me in heavenly places. You have blessed me with adoption and sonship, that you can call me daughter and son. I want to thank you because in this year, 2025, I see things through the eyes and the lens of Jesus Christ, the final authority. Hallelujah, kashatara. Don't be ashamed to lift up your voice. Let the enemy know that you know who you are in Christ. I thank you, Lord, because I know my life counts. Contrary to what the enemy might have said, I know that my life counts. In Jesus' name, that's the first prayer. The second prayer I'd like us to pray. The Bible says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. Moses said, I cannot go unless your presence goes before me. So we cannot go in 2025 unless we go with the spirit of the Lord. I want to say, Father, Lord, in this year, 2025, it's not by my power nor by might, but I thank you because your spirit has gone with me in the name of Jesus. Karabashatalege. I want to thank you, Lord, because it's not by power nor by might. Your spirit is going with me. I go with God. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in our office, than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. We sang this song earlier, singing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. You know what this song means? When you worship, you are doing a heavenly act. This is what they do in heaven. You're joining the elders and the angels because you have been redeemed. We say, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. I want you to sing this song in honor and reverence to God and knowing that your life counts. I want you to join heaven this morning and sing, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Let's sing it with understanding this morning. We sing, holy, holy, holy. Let Jesus hear your voice. Hey, holy are you, Lord Jesus. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and the angels. The elders and the angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. We're singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. One more time. Let's sing it again. Holy, holy, holy. In the presence of the Lord, power is released. There's restoration. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. We join the elders and the angels cry. The redeemed, they worship you now, Jesus, singing, holy, holy.